Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the leaders' meeting tonight. Thank you for preserving us healthy, sound, happy in the Lord. We're asking, Lord, as we come into your presence today, you fill our lives with more joy in your presence in Jesus' name. And as we go to minister to your people, we minister with confidence, with faith, with joy, and with the gratitude that you have chosen us and that we are ministering for your glory and for the salvation of the people. We pray, Lord, that what we ought to be in your grace, in your goodness, we will be in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord. And implant the word in our hearts that we will live by the word in Jesus' name. And make us good, useful, profitable instruments in your hand to move your people from where they are to where they ought to be. We thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We are coming again to the life of Joseph, the life of Jacob, and the life of the believer, the just and the justified. We've been learning quite a lot from the life of Joseph. And you will see that he did everything he did. He was well composed. He was confident. If anybody ought to have been sorrowful, if anybody ought to have been sad, if anybody ought to have come to the public dejected and not having confidence, it should have been Joseph because of everything he had gone through. But he knew he was a child of prophecy, and he was a candidate to fulfill the prophecy of the Lord. And he knew that the Lord was with him all the time. And because the Lord was with him, and he was to do what the Lord had ordained for him to do, he came out confident, calm, without thinking of what had happened in the past, and he was joyful in service. It's an experience and it's an example for every one of us. Whatever it may be happening and whatever might have happened, when you come to the congregation, the people of God, and you come to minister to them, you don't show anything like, you know, I'm the Joseph of this generation and I'm going through a lot. I'm depressed. I'm oppressed. No, you come to the congregation with the joy and gratitude that God has chosen you to serve him. And there is nothing around you, nothing before you, nothing. To the people you are selling the truth and giving the truth and promoting the truth before them, there should be nothing that will make you shake or tremble or be unhappy or not have confidence, not have backbone. When you go to declare the word of the Lord to the people, you come and all your heart, everything the Lord has given to provide, you provide for the people. May the Lord give you the grace in Jesus' name. So we are not bent down, bowed down, and then, well, I'm having depression, I'm having stress, I'm having this. And even as you are talking to the people, ministering to the people will know that you are under some oppression. And you know, if our teachers in schools, if they come before our children who we have sent to school, and if they come, there's no confidence, they may have the subject matter in their head, but they do not have the confidence and the courage to minister to those children. Our children will not make it. The same thing, if the people we're ministering to, if they see that we're fearful, we're timid, we're afraid, we're oppressed, we're depressed, and we're ministering to them, Many of them will not even think of their salvation. They will not think of the truths we're giving to them. They'll be thinking of the way we look and the way we stand and the way we talk and all of that. May the courage from heaven and the confidence in Christ come to every one of us in Jesus' name. And amen. We're looking at the message today, fulfilling God's will during a prevailing worldwide famine. Fulfilling God's will during a prevailing worldwide famine. As we look at the story, we're going back to Genesis now, chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, it says, "And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." They will go into a strange land, the descendants of Abraham, and that strange land is Egypt. And the Lord worked everything out now, that the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, they are going into Egypt to fulfill the prophecy that had been given since the time of Abraham. And now we come to chapter 46, reading from verse 1. In chapter 46, verse 1, "And Israel," that's Jacob, their father, "took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." In verse 2, it says, "And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I." Verse 3, and he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt," because this was to be the fulfillment of prophecy for the nation of Israel. They will become a nation when they get there. It says, "For I will make thee of thee a great nation." They were few in number at this time, but in line with what God had told Abraham, they will become a great nation there in Egypt. Look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, "I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." Obviously, Joseph was still alive. And if Jacob had been doubting all the pranks and all the things that his sons had been telling him, God now affirmed that Joseph is alive. And Joseph will put his hand upon his eyes when he, Jacob, will come to die. A dead man cannot do that, so Joseph must be alive. Here we see the process of fulfilling God's will during a prevailing worldwide famine. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, Jacob's sacrifice and submission to God's will. Number two, Joseph's sanctification and servanthood in a godly way. Now, servanthood is not, you know, like in a servile manner. A person that's afraid and therefore is taking a slavish attitude. No, not that. A Christian is not a slave of men, a slave of society, a slave of sinners. No, he is a servant in a godly way, like Jesus Christ came to serve, and he was a servant. In the same way, we practice servanthood, not a servile, dejected, fearful, timid, frightened attitude. No, sanctification and servanthood in a godly way. Number three, justified separation of sins from the godless world. We're coming to number one. Number one talks about Joseph, about Jacob. Jacob's sacrifice and submission to God's will. There are three things we're looking at here. Number one, his sacrifice in gratitude to God. He's going on a journey and he's so grateful to God. I will see my beloved son again. I will see Joseph again. I'm grateful to God. And the way he expressed his gratitude is that he made sacrifice unto the Lord. Number two, his submission to the guidance of God. Not just that he sacrificed and then he led. The Lord showed his will. God showed his will, and he had submission to the guidance of God. Number three, his security under the governance of God. Let's look at number one there. Number one there is the sacrifice in gratitude to God. We're told in Genesis chapter 46, verse 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had, with all that he had. He actually took everything. He was not going to go there and come back again. Joseph is alive and he has got the information. Actually, he believed eventually when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent and even what Pharaoh had said. So he went with all that he had and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Hold on. Sacrifices. What did he use to make those sacrifices? Part of the cattle he had, part of the herds he had. There was famine. And because of the famine, there was scarcity. And people did not have enough. And yet, even though there was famine, he still took part of what he had and he sacrificed unto the Lord. And we should be grateful to God. He's given us a life to live. And we're still breathing, and he's kept us alive. He's watching over us in the day and in the night, and he's the one that is comforting us. And his sons had gone to Egypt, and they've come back to good news. There's something always to be grateful for, and we should be grateful every time as we think about all that God has done for us and all that God is still doing. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body, your skill, your talent, your ability, everything you have that your body can do, that you present that first unto God. Your body is unto God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2, and it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's come to number two here. Number two here is the submission to the guidance of God. Submission to the guidance of God. We need to emphasize this in our midst as leaders. We need to emphasize this to our members in our local churches. Many of our people and even many of us here might think knowing the will of God is only at the time of marriage. And we pray and we seek the face of the Lord and we have some items in our mind, a person I will marry that will help me and keep me in the ministry. It should be this and this and that. Or if it's, the sister, the person I will marry that will make me remain in the Lord, fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Oh Lord, show me. We do well at that time. But you know, as we're getting older, we see that The will of God is not limited to just that time when you are getting married and you had never married before. Some of us were married before, and then our first wife, spouse, went home to glory. And now, if we're forgotten how to pray, how to seek the will of God, will just now be, what do I do? How do I fill up the vacancy that the, you know, first wife had left? We must still know how to do the will of God, how to pray for the will of God. Not only that, you're moving from one town to the other. You're moving from one business to the other. You're traveling overseas, or you are doing anything, making a change in your life, a change in your employment, a change in your profession, a change in your career, a change in any way, we should still be able to go back to God and have the guidance of God, that He will guide us, He will lead us. The decisions we take from day to day, you want to have somebody in your house so that that person, maybe you want to help people, maybe you just want to fill up a particular, that room is vacant and nobody's staying there, I want somebody there, find out the will of God. We want to have a help meet and a help a mate at home that will help us. You know, the wife is feeling, you know, the duties of the housewife, they're expanding, and my husband, we need to have somebody that will help me in the house, pray and know the will of God. And when you are taking in somebody, it's not just like I ask questions for 5 minutes. Where do you come from? What language do you speak? How old are you? What's your educational level? Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Sanctified? Yes, they are sanctified. Holy Ghost baptized? Yes, they are baptized. All that is not enough. Pray and know the will of God, and we submit to the will of God as He guides us. Genesis chapter 46, I'm reading from verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And He said, here am I. In verse 3, and He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. When last did you hear the voice of God? What you are doing now, where you are now, the fellowship and the relationships you are having with so and so, such and such, when did you hear the voice of God? And the place you are going, I want to go there, I want to go and visit that and visit that, did you hear the voice of God? This person will be my friend, it will be my, you know, we'll rub minds together, we'll be sharing ideas together, he'll be a bosom friend, she'll be a bosom friend. When did you hear the word of God? I'm going to sell off this house, and I'm going to buy another house in that other place. When did you hear the voice of God? God said unto him, He called him, and He said, here am I. And then we're told in verse 3, He said, in verse 3, and He said, I am God, the God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. Things will be better when I lead you. And I lead you to the place you are going now, things will be better than it had ever been. Because there I will make of you a great nation. Look at me here. Sometimes we take a step, we take a decision, and then the decision we take, look at this. The person you brought into your life now is worse than the other one that left. Look at this. The place you are living now, you thought there was trouble, discomfort in the other place you are living. The decision you have taken, you are in this new place now. Why did I leave that old place? Why did I give that up? because the condition, this one is terrible, this one is worse. Now, that's the reason why we need to ask God, I'm taking this step, are you going to bear with me? Is this your way? I'm planting this, I'm planning this. Is this your will? If it is the will of God, the future will be better than the past. He said, there I will make of thee a great nation. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. In verse 5, says, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father. Now, you know, sometimes the people who want to carry us from here to there, they're too much in a hurry, and they're putting pressure on us. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. They don't allow us to have the might of Christ, the will of God. They say, what are you doing? You're wasting time. Hurry up. You need to go from here now to there. Those who are to carry us, those who are to help us, and they are to aid us to move from here to there, let them be patient. Let's hear the voice of God. Let the Lord speak to us, so that it's not just people, it's not problem, it's not the peculiarities of the day hurrying us up, and then we're just going from place to place. We don't know why we're moving. There's too much of a hurry by the people who are trying to help us to move from one place to the other. All those sons of Jacob, they were patient. Daddy is praying. Daddy wants to know how to move, and he wants to know from God directly. We've told him, we've shown him the chariots, we've shown him and told him what Joseph said, we've told him what Pharaoh said. What's he waiting for again? He must hear from God. The same thing with you, that you own your decision. And you know the direction, you own the direction you are going. It is not because of the pressure from all around. And it says, and Jacob rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel, Jacob, their father, and and their little sons, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they were told in verse 6, it says, and he took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, and Jacob and all his seed with him. Jacob, the man, is old, but yet he knew that not one hoof are we going to leave behind. And he carried everyone and came to the place the Lord has assured him, I will be with you. Psalm 119, we're looking at verse 32. In Psalm 119, reading from verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. In verse 33, it said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. You might grow to become 130 years of age, and I will keep it unto the end. You might grow to become like Jacob, 147 years of age, and yet you make your decision and consecration that no matter how old I become, this God who has been guiding me will continue to guide me. He'll continue to guide you in Jesus' name. I said he'll continue to guide you in Jesus' name. And we're looking at number 3 now. Number 3, his security under the governance of God. His security under the governance of God. We've read already chapter 46, verses 2 to 4 of Genesis. And the Lord said, I'll be with you, I'll go with you, and I will lead you to that exact spot. You will see Joseph again. We need to understand understand that while when the way in the path where God, that God has made for us, our lives are secured. Your life is secured. Your family is secured. Look at what the Lord had said. The Lord had told us in Psalm 91, reading from verse 1. Psalm 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the governance of the Almighty, under the security of the Almighty, under the cover of the Almighty. Look at verse 9, in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Look at verse 10. This is for you. Before I read it, I said, this one is for you. It will not fail in your life. While you are going out, while you are coming in, while you are moving from one city to the other, you're moving from one country to the other, anywhere you go, the Almighty will fulfill this in your life in Jesus' name. If you are traveling and then your family is, you know, this way, you will come back and meet your family safe and secured in Jesus' name. Look at this. There shall no evil befall thee. You, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Let somebody say amen. We're coming to point number two. In point number two, we're looking at Joseph's sanctification and servanthood in a godly way. Joseph's sanctification and servanthood in a godly way. We're looking at Genesis chapter 45, and we're reading from verse 5. Chapter 45, verse 5, Joseph said unto his brethren, chapter 45, reading from verse 4. In verse 4, it says, Joseph said unto the brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Many times, events separate between us and the originator of those events. They had done something, those brothers of Joseph, and that created a gap. You don't want to see the person you have sold, the person you have slandered, the person you have cut down, and the person you wish they were dead, and you took the step to get rid of them. You don't want to get near to them or see them. But now, here is Joseph, and here are the brothers of Joseph. And Joseph said, breach the gap. You're far away. Forget what had happened. Come near unto me. And he looked at them face to face. You know, sometimes when you've done something evil to a person, and the person comes to you, even if he does not know the details of what you've done, you look down. Because the evil that the person has done will want him to hide himself. And so Joseph said, forget about that. This is a sanctified person, a holy person. He doesn't have any grudge. He doesn't have any animosity. Come near unto me. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. And you are saying, can I ever forgive myself for what I did to him? Forgive yourself. Don't be grieved and don't be angry with yourselves. And don't begin to accuse yourselves now. Judah, you made this happen. Simeon, this is your patch in the selling of this. Joseph, don't be grieved and don't be angry with yourselves. Now think about it. If they didn't do what they did, where would Joseph have been? They've taken away the coat of many colors, but he had now the regalia and the royal dress of a prime minister. He lost nothing. They did nothing that permanently injured him. He said, look at what the Lord has done for me. Look at where I am today. Look at the dream that I had at that time. And the dream is now fulfilled. All the things they have done, they are negligible. There are things we can forget. There are things that he should forget, because look at the result now. So he said, now therefore be not grieved with yourselves or angry with yourselves that she sold me hither, for God did send me. God used your action, God used your thoughts, and God used everything you did, and God sent me before you to preserve life. Let's look at chapter 47, reading from verse 12. Chapter 47, verse 12. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. He nourished them joyfully, happily, heartily. He didn't have anything in his mind. I'm giving you this now, I'm nourishing you. He knew it was God, and God that had promoted him and provided for him. He made use of what God had provided to nourish the people of God. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the sanctified heart of the just. Number two, the selfless hard work of Joseph. And then number three, his sincere humility with joyfulness. Let's look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the sanctified heart of the just. In chapter 45, reading from verse 4, we've read that already. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. He did that to me, I'm still not seeing that. And then you cannot sleep at night, because instead of meditating on the word of God, you're meditating on what he said, what she said. And then you're analyzing it. How could he say that about me? And he didn't mention your name really. And then you didn't hear from him directly. Somebody else told you that so and so, of all people, this is what he said about you. You don't know whether that person is exaggerating or is adding to it. And then he says he criticizes you behind you, and you don't have any way of checking up. You didn't ask the man, okay, I'm going to check up from him. And if he asked me, how did I know? I will say, my friend, brother so-and-so, my friend, sister so-and-so told me that this is what you said about me. And then you say, don't mention my name, I just told you. Why do you gossip if you don't want your name to be mentioned? But the gossip has so gotten into you that you will not sleep at night, you'll not have clear thought, and you'll not be able to do what you ought to do, because somebody said something you cannot even verify or know what he had in mind or know his meaning. But the Lord is saying, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Interpretation is, true love does not revenge. True love does not bear grudges. True love does not have any mind to avenge ourselves. If you're throwing something at anybody directly because of what they have done, there's no true love there. But true love will forgive and forget and live your life. You know, our lives are tender and sensitive. And if you are thinking about this, it brings weight upon your mind. It brings confusion upon your mind. It hinders the straightforward prayer you ought to pray, it hinders your relationship with the brethren and relationship with the God of heaven. You will not avenge yourself. You will not bear any grudge against the children of thy people. We're looking at John chapter 17 verse 14. In John chapter 17 verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We know the attitude of the world. We know the reaction of the world. We know the grudges of the world. We know the fighting style of the world. We know the policies of the world. When we're Christians, the Lord said they are not of the world. They will not have the attitude, the disposition, and the grudges, and the avenging, and the nothing of evil things like the world. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And then he says in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Sanctify them, purify them, purge them. When we're sanctified, all that nothing of this and nothing of that, all that will clear away from our mind. And actually, that thing we're nothing, apart from that, it may push you to want to find a way to revenge. It will also make you fearful of the people that you have heard about, that they've done this, they've done that, and because of what they have done and because of what they have said, it creates fear in your heart. I don't know what I will do now that, you know, that man will also criticize me. I don't know what where I will step my foot now, and that a woman will also say this and say that about me. And then it changes your personality. All those things you are bearing in your heart, if you are being a person that is an extrovert and expressive, and you are joyful and happy, all those things you are thinking about, everything will bring fear. It changes your personality and cuts you down. You are the one cutting yourself down now because of what you are thinking about. But he sanctifies us, he purifies us, and all those things get away from our mind. And then another thing may happen another time. You don't give interpretation to the new thing that you gave to the old thing. That's what spoils our lives, spoils our joy, and diminishes us. Because when something happens now, you recollect the criticism, you recollect all those things that you had thought about before, and your interpretation of every new thing that happens goes along with all those things you should have forgotten. The Lord will sanctify us truly and completely and thoroughly in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. You know, what will our lives be if we're free from avenging, from revenging, from bearing grudges? And if we have that free flow of relationship with everybody around us, and we're fully sanctified, and we live our lives, we're free as the bird in the air is free, and we're not hiding from this and hiding from that and hiding from the other one, and we live a life that is above the wind that blows in the world, your life will become brighter. You will not say, I will not go there, so and so is there, I don't want to see her face. I will not go to the other place, so and so is there, I don't want to interact with him. You'll be free in the world that God has made. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And when the Lord sanctifies us and takes all those things away from our hearts, we will go where God wants us to go. I will go where God wants me to go. God bless you. Let's look at number two there. Number two there is the selfless hard work of Joseph. We're reading from chapter 41. I'm reading from verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. He was going to gather the grain in the years of plenty, and he went everywhere. That promise, he went, that tribe, he went, and that locality, he went, and that local government, he went. He went everywhere. And then in verse 47, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Verse 48, and he gathered up. He was able to manage the people. He was able to organize the people. He was able to train the people. He was able to engage the people, and all of them joined hands with him, and he with them. They were able to gather all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, and laid he up in the same. Look at verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Look at chapter 47 verse 14. Chapter 47 verse 14, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into the Pharaoh's house. Now think about Joseph. Number one, he was quite industrious, and he went here, he went there by himself. Number two, he was dutiful. When they were selling the corn, he didn't say, you know, I've traveled so much, I've done so much, I've gone here and there, and this is wears on the body. I need some rest, I need some relaxation, I need some refreshing, I need some sleep. He was still there to sell the corn. Now, if he had not been there at the selling point, where all those foreigners will come, if he delegated everything, I don't have all the strength to do all that, and then he uses the language that people use, I will not die, just, you know, taking care of the people, distributing this, I will not. If he was like that, he won't see his brothers. They will come and buy, and they will go, and they will come the second time again, and they will go. But he was there. He didn't know they were come. It's just being on duty. And that's what the Lord is calling us to. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength, all your mind, because you don't know what you are going to do when you get to another place you are getting to. And then we read in verse 19. Look at verse 19. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed, and we, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, we're told, and Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For Pharaoh, not for himself, for Pharaoh. And you know, the period that you see, won't you think of yourself? all that, you know, you're doing, is everything going to be shoveled unto Pharaoh? How about yourself? Why don't you also keep some? After all, you know, you can't predict Pharaoh. He's an unbeliever. He may get angry tomorrow and then get you out of office. What are you going to rely on? That man was faithful. That man was honest. That's sanctification. Whatever people are going to do, however people are going to act, this is my place, my point of duty today. And I'm going to do everything because God is watching me. And so we're told that he bought everything for Pharaoh, for because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. I pray that same faithfulness the Lord will give to every one of us. We're coming to number three here. Number three is the sincere humility with joyfulness. Sincere humility with joyfulness. In Genesis chapter 41, reading from verse 16. Genesis chapter 41, we're looking at verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me." Interpretation, it is not in me. Revelation, it's not in me. The skill and the ability, it is not in me. And the ability to stand before you here and interpret the dream God has given you, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." In verse 33, it says, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man." A man, discreet and wise. He didn't say, "Pharaoh, well, I've interpreted your dream, and nothing goes for nothing. Actually, I need to be cushioned. Where I'm coming from, the prison I was in, is how I got there. And now that I've given this interpretation, can you make me to do this and do that?" God will place you where God will place you. Yeah. He didn't campaign for himself. He was not a politician. There are some people that become politicians in the assembly, and they're asking for this and asking for that. They'll ask directly, they'll ask indirectly, and if you don't understand their language of asking, they'll begin to react, and then you'll see that their zeal is going down and their faithfulness is being eroded. But in the case of Joseph, this man was sincere in his humility and with joyfulness. "And now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Look at verse 38. In verse 38, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man whom the Spirit of God is, a man whom the Spirit of God is?" It's our action that will tell if we have the Spirit of God. It's our joyfulness in the service of the Lord that will tell that the Spirit of God is in us. But if we're doing the work of God and we're burdened and we're sorrowful and we're managing, "I came today, but you know, Pastor, if I had my way, I wouldn't have come. It's like the whole world is on me. Somebody told a lie against me in the group, and he didn't even check up from me, and he disciplined me. I came out of that, and then somebody said another thing. It's like nobody wants me in the group. They don't want me in the district. And what am I going to do now?" Not Joseph. A lot had happened. Much water had gone. gone under the bridge. And yet when he came before Pharaoh, he was an excited man, a joyful man, a happy man. And he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh joyfully and happily. We should carry that kind of joy, that kind of excitement, that whatever is happening, we know that God is on the throne. For you. I said for you. So you are going to do something. All the things you've been thinking about, that they said in the district, that they did in the group, and I cannot forget. You know, the group pastor called me and they set a committee on me. Can you think about that? And they were asking this and asking that. If you are thinking of that, you'll not be as happy, as excited, as joyful as Joseph was. Forget that and bury all those things. Am I talking to somebody? When you bury all those things, then your life will be radiant in Jesus' name. And then Pharaoh said in verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Let me tell you this, the man did not have the WASC WAEC certificate. This man didn't allow him to finish school before they sold him out. All that he had is the Spirit of God and the help of God. Let me tell you, this man did not have a graduate certificate. This man, and Pharaoh did not ask, now tell me, I'm going to appoint you to an important job. What's your certificate? They forgot that. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, they'll forget what you don't have. They will remember what you have, and what you have will put you forth in Jesus' name. My brother there, I know the way you are thinking, the way you are talking to yourself inside. I could have done this, I could have done that, but I don't have the certificate tonight. I'm telling you, forget certificate. God will promote you. My dear sister, I know the way you are talking, the way you are thinking. You know, I really have a great vision and I have a great, you know, prospect. I would have been there, but I don't have this certificate. I am not a graduate. No, for don't talk about that. Beyond what certificate would have lifted you, the hand of God will lift you up. If you just depend on God and have the Spirit of God in you, at the time, the gift of God, the Spirit of God will lift you up in Jesus' name. And look at verse 40. It says in verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Are you expecting promotion? Are you expecting the Lord will lift you up? The Lord will confirm it in your life. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three, justified separation of saints from the godless world. We're looking at Genesis chapter 46, and we're reading from verse 33. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? In verse 34, that ye shall say, thy servant's trade occupation has been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the separation of the shepherds in Goshen. Number two, the severance of his saints from the godless. Number three, the settling the setting apart of spiritual sons unto God. Look at number one. Number one is the separation of the shepherds in Goshen. Look at chapter 43. Chapter 43 verse 32. In chapter 43 verse 32. And he set on for them by himself, and for them by themselves, for the Egyptians which for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. They couldn't live together because the Egyptians will count it an abomination, and also because they were shepherds, because the sheep rearers and the shepherds were abomination unto the people of Egypt. That's why the separation was there. And actually, if the Lord orchestrated it that way and planned it that way, so that they will be separate, they will be different from the people of Egypt. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. He wants us to be separate. Separate from the world. Separate from the filthy, godless people of the world. He wants us to be separate in business, and separate in marriage, and separate in every way. It says, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, in verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In James, reading from chapter 1, verse 26, James chapter 1 verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Separate from the world. Look at number two here. Number two here, the severance of his saints, separation of his saints from the godless. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Leviticus 20, reading from verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you, separated you from other people, that ye should be mine. The severance, it separates us. Why? Look at Jeremiah chapter 10 from verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And look at verse 3, the first part, for the customs of the people are vain. That's why we're separated from them. Their custom, their tradition, their way of life, what they drink, what they eat, their festivals, their celebrations, all those things are vain, and he doesn't want us to learn their ways. We're coming to number three here. Number three, the setting apart of spiritual sons unto God. Setting apart, that we as children of God were separated from them, were severed from them, were set apart from them. In Psalm 4, I'm looking at verse 3. Psalm 4 verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart Him that is godly for himself, the Lord will hear when I call. That's what he wants. That's his will. He wants us set apart, not to mingle with the people of the world and not to practice their practices. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, stand in awe, reverence, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The people of the world dwell in iniquity. We cannot be like them or be with them or do what they do. They dwell in iniquity. But everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 21, in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, it shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22 tells us, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And the church said, amen. Amen. I pray that everything we have learned today will be reaching upon the tables of our heart, and God will single you out as a believer, a brother, a sister, and without mingling with the people of the world, he'll raise you up. He lifts you up. And everything and everywhere you ought to be, God will take you there. God will take me there. With joy. With joy. With happiness. With excitement. I am going up. God will fill that in your life in Jesus' name. Rise up now and talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. You did it for Joseph so long ago. And I know, as I trust you, as I depend on you, and as I live for your glory, you will do it for me. Forget all those criticisms and all the things of the past. They said this, they did that, and all that. Forget and live a life that is new and nothing tied on your legs. And there's no fear of man, and there's no fear of anything. You are going up, and the Lord confirm it in every life. Pray, pray, open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.